accident. Anyway, so Moses, he flew in extra early just by accident because he couldn't get a flight and landed on Wednesday afternoon. We said, oh, you're here in time for youth group. Why don't you preach tonight? So he preached. And then we took him to the conference and he preached again. And then Saturday he preached again. And then today he preached. Guys, I have been in those situations where you're preaching multiple times a day. You're doing great. You're just like, you're rocking life. Honestly, it's hard. It's exhausting. But so here we are. I really feel honored that he's here today. Moses is 23-year-old young man that'll just give you hope for this generation. He loves the Lord. So humble. He's been staying with Jeff and I since Wednesday. Just a humility on him, a zeal for the Lord. He's been through Bible college, graduated with his Bible degree, then felt like he was supposed to spend some time doing missions with Contend. And we're really honored to have him here. He's got a word, and I'd like you to give him a great big James River Church welcome. All right, Moses, come on up here.
Is it on? Oh, praise God. All right, I love this church. Thank you guys for so much for having me. I'm like so honored and privileged. I want to first thank Pastor Jeff and Autumn for having me. Thank you guys so much. Their hospitality is great. I love Malachi too. He's great. He misses you all. I got to contact him a little bit while he's in Asia. The whole team is in East Asia. I don't know if it's like disclosed. I don't know if I can tell you or not. Okay, I don't know if it's the biggest deal if I can't tell you, but yeah, Malachi misses you all. I'm pretty sure he's going to come soon. It was such a great weekend for me personally. I loved it. I'm just so grateful to be here. But I was just so excited to see God move among the youth and what God just desires to do. And sometimes I think I'm like, man, I ask God, I'm like, why does the youth burn more than the adults? I ask myself sometimes. And I'm like, and I get so nervous because I'm like, man, when I get old, I don't want to be like those people who don't love Jesus anymore. Just like, you know, back in my day, I used to burn for Jesus. No, I don't. I want to burn brighter for Jesus when I'm older than when I was in my youth. And I just think sometimes our circumstances refrain us. Like we always think, oh, we have all these, because when you get more of an adult, I'm learning this now, you know, you get more responsibility, like doing laundry and stuff like that. It's a pain. Or I'm just kidding, like paying bills or having an income and stuff like that. And then eventually, hopefully one day I'll have a wife and kids, and you just learn just the weight of responsibility. So then you hold your circumstances above the very word of God. And we don't understand that when we get older, that it actually dulls us, and it dulls us slightly even more and even more. But a kid has no care in the world and can just take the word of God as what it is and believe it. And I just want to live my life on the word of God today. Amen. I want to believe that God's word is yes and amen, that it's greater than, and I can grab hold and lay hold of all of it. I want to burn for Jesus, and I hope you want to burn for Jesus too. And so let's just bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're just going to believe the Holy Spirit to minister to us today. Lord, I just pray, would you come? We invite you today, Holy Spirit. Would you shake all our tradition? Would you shake all our religion, Lord? Would you shake the very ground we stand on? Would you shake our very minds, oh Lord? Would you transform it and renew it with your word today? In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, Holy Spirit, we invite you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I just want to say I'm not here to just give you a quick message and a small message, a nice cute message and leave. I believe I want to change history today. I believe every day is an opportunity to change history. Do you believe that today? Yes, do you believe that? I feel like the youth yesterday believed it way more than this. They believed it so much. I believe we changed history. I believe we laid hold. Today, I believe, every day, I believe we get to lay hold of history. And as you were told, I'm a part of a Contend. And Contend, we're more of an intercessor ministry. So we don't go do a bunch of things. We go and pray because we believe prayer is the most powerful thing. Does anyone believe that when you pray the very words in hearts of God, that is what changes history? Not a bunch of outreaches, not a bunch of things. not a bunch of money. That doesn't change history. What changes history is our prayer and fasting. Do you believe that today? But there's a precursor in how you pray effectively. It starts with a question, I believe. And I just want to first quote off Dr. Seuss. He says, "How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's noon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flew. How did it get late so soon?" And the question I want to ask you today is, what time is it? Have you ever asked the question, what time is it? And it's too late and you missed your appointment? Or maybe you woke up too late. Maybe you ever have one of those experiences, you just fall asleep without your alarm clock and it was day outside, and then you wake up all of a sudden it's dark and you're just like, what's going on? Where do I live? What time is it? You're like scattered. You're like, what time is it? I'm pretty sure everyone here asked the question, what time is it? And I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, man, maybe I shouldn't ask this question. Then everyone's going to start looking at their watch the whole time. They're like, man, what time is it? He's still preaching. What time is it? But even then, we just look at, you know, you probably have a good basis on where your children are when they're young, and then you see they're already grown, and you're like, man, the time has flown by. What time is it? Or, you know, even I look back on my own life, I just graduated college and 2 years already went by. I'm like, man, what time is it? Have you ever asked yourself, what time is it? And I want to take us to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, the Bible reads in this manner. This of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And in our ministry, we love this verse because we believe it's a priority to ask the question, what time is it? I was just thinking, I'm not holding a mic. I held a mic for a couple weeks or a couple days these past days. And then we started talking how I'm Italian. And now I'm like using both hands. I feel so free right now. So you guys are getting the full Italian experience with all my gestures today. But our priority in our ministry is understanding the times, not just any understanding the times we are living in today. We believe that when you understand the times and the hours you're living in, you get to pray the very heart of the Lord. Why? Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a season, a time. It is important to understand the times we live in, because when you understand the time, you then understand the season. And once you understand the season, you then understand the purpose of God. If it's harvest time, you're not going out plowing the field. Because you understand the season, there's a purpose. If it's plowing time, there's not time to gather a harvest. That's not the purpose. That's not the season in which you're in. So when you understand the time, you understand the season. And then you understand the purpose and why you're in that season. But it first starts with a question. What time is it, right? And so here in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we see all of Israel start to gather around and start, all the sons of Israel start to help King David overtake King Saul at the place of Haran. And here the Bible says, this is how he describes King David. This is how he describes the sons of Israel coming to him. It says, the sons of Judah bearing shields and spear, 6,800 armed of war. The sons of Simeon, mighty men of valor, fit for war, 7,100. Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house, 22 captains. I'm not going to go through all of them, but then it just stops, and it says this description of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do with their chiefs, were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. So we see Judah, he bearing great shields, Simeon, a mighty man, and Zadok, a valiant warrior. This is how they're describing. These are men of war. And then there's this weird description. It goes, and Issachar, the sons of Issachar, who understood the times. And when you understand the times, there was 200 men who understood the times and how to instruct Israel in the way of battle. They knew how to go into battle and how to come out. They knew how to instruct all of Israel. See, when the church starts to understand what the times and the hours demand, it's there we actually get to instruct the church and to the ends of the earth. When you understand the ways of what God is doing on the earth, it's there that you can inject yourself and instruct the people rightly. But you first need to ask the question, what time is it? And so today, I want to ask you, what time is it? Do you understand the purpose? Do you understand the times and the seasons you're living in? Because to everything, there is a season. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Do you know the times you're living in? And taking us to Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 through 4, it says, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing Jesus, asking that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And when it is morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. This verse always convicts me when I read it, because it's the Christians, the religious people, the chief priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're testing Jesus constantly. It's always the Pharisees and it's always the Christians. We're always the ones to question Jesus. And he's saying, you hypocrites, you don't understand the times in the seasons you're living in, the signs of the times. He's saying, when the sky is red, you understand it's good weather. He says, when the sky is red in the morning, you know there's going to be bad weather. He's like, we can discern the natural things of the world. But the Pharisees here, they couldn't even discern the Messiah's face standing right in front. They couldn't even discern their own king because they didn't understand the times. Nobody in Israel asked the question, what time is it? And here, throughout all the scriptures, throughout the Gospels, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they constantly tested Jesus. It's like obnoxious. Like, when are they just going to get it, you feel like, right? And we're no better. Here the Pharisees are asking, oh, this is Caesar's denarius. What do you say about this? Should we pay taxes to Caesar? And then Jesus always has to give a response. Or they always test them. They're like, they always ask him, they're like, oh, how does this man forgive sins? He casts demons with the spirit of demons. And they constantly question Jesus, because they couldn't even discern their own king. Because no one asked the question, what time is it? And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 5, but when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. It was the fullness of time has come. And Christ was born. And they couldn't even discern the fullness. This is the leaders, the religious leaders of the day who instructed all of Israel. These are not just like your average Christian. These were the chief people, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They probably know the Old Testament and they can quote it way better than many Christians, probably way better than me. This day, like, this is how well they knew their word. But yet they couldn't even discern the times they were living in. It says the fullness of time, they couldn't even perceive their own Messiah. But not only that, it says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They might have been wise because they discerned the times. But it said, where is he who was born of king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and awed Jerusalem with him. No one asked the question in all of Jerusalem. All Jerusalem trembled. King Herod trembled. They did not understand that it was the king was supposed to be born at this time. They didn't understand the immorality of their time. They didn't understand their oppression. They didn't understand the sin that they were struggling with. And when they heard, oh, the Messiah is born, they didn't rejoice. They didn't welcome him. They didn't look for him. No, they all trembled. They didn't understand. They all were scared, and they didn't ask the question, what time is it? They did not understand that what all the prophets prophesied about. They all quoted the Old Testament. They did not understand that all the prophets, what they prophesied, that the king is coming, that he would be born in Bethlehem. They all did not understand that he was coming and he was being born at this time. So what did they do? They all trembled. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know who the only people who didn't repent? The tax collectors repented. The sinners repented. All the people repented. Even the officers, even the Roman officers started repenting. All these people started repenting. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers were the only ones who did not repent, because they were the only ones who did not ask the time, what time is it? They did not ask, they did not discern what time they were living in. And here in Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 44, it says, now as Jesus drew near, This is towards the end of his ministry. And he saw the city, Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surrounding you and enclose you on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. All the people, it was the tax collectors, it was the sinners, it was the prostitutes, it was the drug addicts, it was the paralytics who were drawing Jesus in, saying, blessed is he, Hosanna of the highest. They were all drawing Jesus in. They were saying, they were casting all, like we heard today, casting all their garments. They were the ones who were drawing Jesus in, not the special people, not the talented people. No, it was the tax collectors and sinners who were drawing Jesus into Jerusalem. And Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And he says, oh, you didn't know the time of your visitation. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's coming and he's riding on a colt, humbly and lowly. And they couldn't even see it. Because no one asked the question, what time is it? But they actually do the opposite to Christ Jesus, our King. And they pluck out his beard and they beat him. And they put a crown of thorns on his head and they nail him on a cross to die, because no one asked the question, what time is it? And we always think we're like the tax collectors and sinners, but when we start getting into church, we think we know the rhythm of Jesus and how he is. But when we stop asking what time is it, we're no better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We become no better, but shame on us, because we can discern the times and the seasons for football. We can discern the times and the seasons of baseball. We discern the times and the seasons of basketball, and we worship it more, and we're more enthusiastic about those things, but we don't understand the times and the seasons when our Christs come in. We don't even understand the times. We can understand the times and the seasons of our Netflix show, of our Amazon Prime shows. We even discern the times and seasons for fruits and when it's good to get strawberries and watermelon and all these things. But yet, the sky is red. Can't you see it today? The sky is red. We can discern the times and seasons, even when to take vacation, to go to a certain state or to a certain country. But the sky is red. Sin is considered good, and good is considered evil. The sky is red. The love of many has grown cold. The sky is red. There's rumors of war and wars happening. The sky is red. Can't you see it today? The sky is red. There's famines and earthquakes in the land. Nations are rising against nations. The sky is red. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The sky is red. Somebody has to answer, what time is it? But I believe that God is raising up this church in South Dakota who's going to ask the question, what time is it? So that they can pray effective prayers. Is there anybody in this place? Am I preaching to somebody who's going to believe, who's going to ask the Lord, oh, what time is it? So they can understand the times and the seasons they're living in. God is looking for a community, a people group who's going to inquire what he has to say of him, who's going to establish his work on this earth. But it first starts with a time. What time is it? I believe this church is called to usher in the Holy Spirit of God. I believe this church is calling this church to a time of prayer and fasting to understand what he is trying to do on the earth so that God can come and sweep this place with signs, miracles, and wonders, that they can see their generation saved. How much can God use just one man? But how much can God use a whole church? Oh, it can shake the world. I believe in that way. Amen? But it starts with a question. Who knows what time is it? And so I just want to say a story and just a testimony of what we're doing and what we've been doing, if that's all right. Just sharing, you know, a little bit what Malachi is doing too. And so here back in 2021, we're going to take us way back to 2021 and 2022. And there was these prophets and they were prophesying what is going to happen over the nation, which is a job of a prophet. He's supposed to understand the times and the hours. The intercessor is supposed to understand the times and the hours. And the church is supposed to understand so we can instruct the way we should go so that we can have effective prayer. So we're not just praying aimlessly, but effective prayer. And so here the prophet, specifically Corey Russell, he prophesies, he says, Russia will provoke, but Taiwan will be the test. This is what he prophesies. Russia will provoke, but Taiwan will be the test. And we're like, no one knows what that means. And no one cared. No one prayed. We sat idly by in the place of prayer and fasting. And, you know, we see Russia invaded Ukraine. And we're like, oh, wow. God wasn't just looking for us to listen to his prophetic word, but he was demanding a response. When you hear the words of God, it doesn't just, you don't sit there idly by, but there's this response. So we're just like, oh, snap. Russia will be the test. Russia will provoke, but Taiwan will be the test. And we're asking the question, who's going to pray for Taiwan? Who's going to go and pray? Who's going to fast and pray for Taiwan? So we believe that God was demanding a response to his word. So what we finally did is we started to think, like, we have to go to Taiwan. We have to respond to this word. And we have a saying in our ministry because, you know, sometimes we're like, man, don't you know there's a lot of dictators? Like, don't you know, it's very dangerous. Where you're going to go head to? And we're like, yes, we go where the dictators are. We desire to challenge those who try to hinder the gospel. We believe it's through effective prayer that opens the heavens and that the gospel can go forth. We believe the church is designed to establish the judgment and the rule and reign of Christ Jesus. This is the job of the church. We are to govern what is to happen in the heavens and is supposed to manifest on earth. Does anyone believe that today? We should be a people of prayer and fasting because that is what ushers in the movement of God. Not just standing idly by and saying, well, God, if you want to do it, you just got to do it all by yourself. No, but God co-labors with us. He desires a people group to establish. So we love going where the dictators are who challenge God, because the Bible says, if you are against me, God is not for you. If you are against God, I wouldn't want to be on your side. That's all I'm saying. But if you are for me, who can stand against you? We love challenging the dictators. And so we go where the dictators are to enforce the gospel to be able to move. So this is what we do in our ministry. We believe when dictators arise and they try hindering the gospel, we pray against the dictators so that the gospel can go forth freely to the ends of the earth. Does that make sense? Amen? All right. So, but it all started with asking the question, what time is it? And so here we started in 2023. We started to mobilize and train. And we, you know, we have our normal Contend Leadership Summit. So we had around 100 students come, and we started to teach them on the times and hours we're living in, that God is starting a battle in Taiwan, that God is starting to stir up his heart in Taiwan. And so we would travel, we would preach to about 100 kids in the early year, and then we would travel all across America, which Malachi did this year. It was actually kind of wild. We went to sea to shining sea. We started in Colorado. We drove all the way to Connecticut, New Hampshire, and then we went all the way to California this year. So we really went to see it a shining sea this year. But last year was a little different, and we would mobilize the youth, the young of America, in preaching Psalms chapter 1, verse 10, which it says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness. For the womb of the morning, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of the youth." And so we would call the youth of America, we would travel all across college campuses saying that Taiwan is the Lord's chosen battle. That we believe the prophetic words, we believe the times and the seasons we're living in. But God needs a company, a prayer of intercessors, and we would call them, oh, lay down your American dream. Lay down your internship. Lay down your job opportunities and come. There's a chosen battle for the Lord. And he says, there must be a response, we would call them to. There has to be a response. And he says, and God will have the youth that would feel like the dew in the morning. And he says, and we would call them. And so after traveling, and then a lot of phone calls too, a lot of following up after months, there would be about 50 college-age students. Not all of them were college, but 50 college-age students who would come and join us. And there, we took them to Taiwan. But we didn't take a bunch of college students to do a bunch of outreaches, to feed the poor, to do events, to make wells. We didn't even take them out to go eat. We didn't take them to go swimming. But what did we do? We took them to do what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 10, where he didn't eat any tasty foods and he didn't drink any wine, but he set his face to pray and fast for 21 days, believing that God would break through in Babylon, and that Israel would be set free. And so this is what we did. We set our face for 21 days of prayer and fasting. And we had four teams. We did two teams in the morning and then two teams at night. So we would cover both day and night prayer. Not for 24/7, but we would pray for about 18 hours. We'd have 18 hours of continuous prayer. And there we would take them not to enjoy the land, not to eat or drink boba tea, because they're famous for boba tea, not to go swimming, but we would set our face to pray and fast so that God can break forth, that he can challenge the dictators, and that the gospel can go free. But it first started with the question, what time is it? Because I believe God has set a remedy for a sick nation. When a nation is sick and dying, when a nation is sleeping, when a church is dying, I believe God has set a remedy, a pill for it. And we see it for 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is the prescription on when a nation is sick. God doesn't send the evangelists. He doesn't send the pastors. He says, no, he sends those who will humble themselves and pray on their behalf. And it was there we humbled ourselves. That word humble literally means to pray and fast. And to literally means to fast, it means to shut the mouth. So it means to refrain from eating. I'm all for media fasting. I'm a big believer on media fasting. I'm a big believer, you know, even isolating yourself. All those things are good. But what fasting really means is to shut the mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. He's talking about literal bread. It's not figurative. God was saying, man shall not live by bread alone. You know, it's real bread. And I just encourage somebody to set their face, to refrain from eating, to fast on behalf of their land so that God can restore it. And we have a saying in our ministry. We say history is in the hands or the center of the palm of the intercessor. We believe that it's based on intercessory prayer. Through prayer and fasting, effective prayer and fasting, that you actually get to change history. You get to change the tide of battle. You get to change the destiny of nations. We believe that prayer and fasting truly does move God's heart. Do you believe that today? But it all starts with the question, what time is it? So there we prayed for 21 days and we partnered only with one church. Only one church wanted to pray and fast with us. I can't imagine why. How many people love praying and fasting? And so we took those 50 students and we only had one church. And by the end of those 21 days of fasting, we called a solemn assembly. We called a solemn assembly. And throughout those 21 days, we cried, we danced, we laughed, we shouted. Pretty cool how the Taiwanese people all dance. They got dance names too and stuff, and they would have these chants. Really awesome. And they would all be prayers and intercession to God we would raise up. And there we would pray that that God would have mercy on the land to awaken the church in Taiwan and to challenge the dictators. So on the last day, we had 300 people gather at the solemn assembly. And there was about a dozen churches that joined us. We went from one church to a dozen churches joining us that day. And there we have a response from God. And we see it in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 through 15. It says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So rend or tear your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. And who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind them, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. This is what I believe, what God responds to. I don't believe. The Bible says that when you call a sacred assembly, when you pray and fast, it restores a nation back to life. It restores a movement. It awakes. He says, sound the alarm. And I believe God is waiting for somebody to sound an alarm, to consecrate a fast here in South Dakota, to see a land restored so that they can see the ushering presence of the Lord. That end of the chapter in Joel chapter 2, it says, and then I will pour out my Holy Spirit. But the first thing, before God can pour out his Holy Spirit, it's there first that you have to fast and pray to move God's heart on the land. But you first need to understand the times we're living in. And so we would pray and fast, and boom. As the team is, as we're speaking, they're in Taiwan right now. And over 5,000 churches are joining them in prayer, and over 50,000 people are praying with them. All because, not because we're special, not because we're talented, not because we did anything. We didn't do any outreach. We did the opposite. Nobody knew. We did no outreaches. We did no evangelism. We did no humanitarianism, things like feed the poor, nothing. We didn't give anybody money. All we did was set our face to pray and fast for the nation. And bam, 1,000 churches next year join. And just hearing some of the testimonies is wild on what they're doing. There's like a whole youth movement that's sweeping in Taiwan. And I'm so jealous because America's youth is not being moved like the Taiwanese movement, because they understand the times they're living in. And here in America, we cannot shake up because we're too comfortable where we're sitting at. We're too comfortable with our homes and with our wealth. We're too comfortable where we're living in, because no one is asking the question, what time is it? And I believe God is asking the question, who's going to ask, what time is it? And so the way you put yourself in the forefront of God's heart is not just by doing a bunch of things. I kind of made that clear. It's not, you don't move or change a generation by doing a bunch of things, not by outreaches, events, planting churches, feeding the poor. Though these are all good things, please do them. They are good things. But to put yourself in the forefront of God's heart is to pray and fast on behalf of your nation. And I believe God is asking somebody in this church to pray. Who's going to figure out what God desires to do in this church specifically? What does God desire to do in the churches in this region? What does God desire to do in the college campuses in South Dakota? Is there anybody who's going to ask the question, who's going to set their face to pray and fast until God shows up so that the Holy Spirit can do a fresh outpouring in this town? But it all starts with a question. What time is it? And so I just want to take a moment to respond. And I just want to take us a moment. There's nothing I can really do to, I mean, I just kind of shared my heart. This is what a little bit of the ministry has taught me. And I just want to ask the Lord to take a moment. What time is it? And I don't believe prayer is a bystander. Like, there's no bystanders in Christianity. There's no benches in Christianity. Everyone has to participate. We are one body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. This is who we are. This is us. We are the church. We are Jesus Christ. Christ is the head, and we are his very body. I don't believe one is supposed to sit out, well, he's gifted in prayer. No, I believe we are all made to pray. And so I want to just take this moment. If we can all just stand, if I can have some music in the background a little bit, if we can all just stand, there's no bystanders. And I just want to start praying. One great thing you can do is start praying in the Holy Spirit to build up your most holy faith, is to inquire. It is the perfect language directly to God. And I just want to take a moment to pray and believe what God is doing on the earth, that he would teach us. And I want to pray specifically according to Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I want to just take a moment of prayer. Is that all right that we just pray a little bit? Is that all right? I mean, yes is the right answer, but we're just going to force the prayer. Sometimes I don't want to pray, but I know prayer is the right answer. So we're just going to pray. I believe the church is supposed to be a house of prayer. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, I want to take us to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where the word of the Lord reads in this manner, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is what I want to take us to. I want everyone in one heart, in one mind, to pray this prayer that, oh God, would you come just where you're at, just start lifting your voice to God and start praying Ephesians chapter 1. Oh Jesus, would you come and teach us your spirit? Oh Jesus, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. nation today. Lord, I pray that you would just come and move. Would you teach us the secrets, Lord? Oh, would you call unto us, Lord, and tell us mysteries we don't know? Somebody just lift your voice. Let's just get bold for Jesus. Let's rumble for God. Let's pray. Oh, Rababasere Baremanalamaseria Talabase. Oh, Jesus, would you come? We just pray, Ephesians chapter 1, 17. What are you doing in South Dakota, oh Lord? We desire, what are you doing in South Dakota, Jesus? Would you teach us, what are you doing? What are your plans for this state, oh Jesus? Would you teach us? Lord, teach us the times and seasons. Don't just let this moment pass by. I'll drag it a little longer. We need Jesus. Oh, Jesus, subject your soul to the place of prayer. Oh, Jesus, would you give us the spirit of prayer and wisdom of revelation? Would you teach us who you are? What do you desire us to do? Jesus, we pray for the wisdom, your spirit, oh Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, Remana Ramaseria Talama. Lord, would you establish your house of prayer here, oh Jesus? Would you grow intercessors, I pray? Would you increase hearts that desire to chase after you, Lord? Lord, would you teach us the times and the seasons? We don't know, oh Lord. Would you come and teach us? Would you teach us, oh Jesus? Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, and I want to pray. Just every hand lifted. Just every hand lifted. I want to pray for dreams and visions that God would give us. The Bible says in the last days, this is the last days. He says, I will pour out my Holy Spirit. I will pour out my Holy Spirit, the Lord says. And he says, I will give you dreams and visions. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams. Lord, I pray, Lord, that dreams would be loosed, oh God. That you would come and visit us in the night. Let the spirit of prophecy, don't let me be the only one praying. We are the church, let us pray for this. Somebody lay hold of dreams and visions. Lord, we pray. Would you speak to us concerning South Dakota? Would you pray, Lord? I pray that you would teach us. Would you speak to us concerning this church, what we are supposed to do? Lord, let us be like the 200 men, the warriors of Issachar. Lord, that you would teach us the ways of battle, that you teach us the signs of wonder.
Stay in this attitude for a second. In the Word, we see two people who had eyes and to see the times and the seasons, and it was Simeon and Anna. At the birth of Christ, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple when he was 8 days old. And it says verse 25, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout and was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him into the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, began to praise God, and said, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you promised, I have seen the salvation of Israel." Like, we can be people who actually know the times and the seasons. And then just as he's prophesying over Jesus, now Jesus didn't look like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He looked like an eight-day-old baby. The one wearing a crown. 8-day-old baby born to a carpenter. I mean, he didn't look like a King of Kings, right? But as Simeon is praying over him at that moment, the prophetess Anna walks by. It says, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. You can burn till you're old. Look at this couple right here. Not calling you guys old, but they're great grandparents, and they're burning. They're burning. Burning ones. So she says she was very old. Her husband died when she had been married only 7 years. So she probably was married at 15. By the time 22, she was a widow. And she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. And his parents were filled full of awe. You can have eyes to see. You can have eyes to see. But you can't do it if you're going to be passive, honestly. It's like it takes devotion to have eyes to see, doesn't it? I want to share this in passing, and just in closing, guys. Years ago, actually in 2008, that was a little while ago, like just last year it feels like, but 2008, Jeff and I had more tornado dreams than we could count. We don't talk about this all the time, prophetic things, but we lay our head on our pillow at night and dream of tornadoes descending on our nation. And one dream the Lord gave Jeff, we were on the top of a skyscraper building, so tall, up skyscraper, overlooking the entire city and the skyline. You could see everything. And there were all these ministries up on top of the skyscraper. And there are all these ministries that set up little booths and they're doing different things. And the sky was dark. There was something to be seen in the sky. The sky was dark. It was stirring. It was dangerous. And here's one church ministry doing a puppet show. And here's another church ministry having a hot dog feed. And here's another church. They're like all oblivious. And literally Jeff and I are up there and Jeff's saying, "What are you guys doing?" And then there's some more church leaders. They're sitting there on lawn chairs watching Fox News. Let the hearer hear. I don't know. Okay. And literally Jeff is up on the skyscraper on the top. He's looking out at the skyline and he's seeing tornadoes being released across the land. And he's saying, "None of this matters. We have to do what matters. We have to do what matters in this moment." He grabbed our family. We ran all the way to the basement and we hunkered down in the humblest place on our face as the tornadoes ripped through our land. And we held our family close and cried out to the Lord. I thought of that dream all the way through Moses' message. It's like, it's just a different season. It's just a different season. Not like puppet shows are evil or hot dog feeds are wicked, but what's the season? What's the time? And I couldn't agree more with the word. I affirm the word given through our brother Moses. It's a time and season for prayer and fasting and alertness and to be watching and waiting and to know the times of the season. And James River Church, you're positioned perfectly for this moment. Perfectly for this moment. I want you to raise up your right hand and extend it out, and I'm going to bless you. And in the days of Israel, when leaders would bless the people, they would extend their right hand to receive it, and the leaders would extend their right hand to give it. And so, Lord, I bless James River Church. I bless them to have eyes to see and ears to hear. I bless them to have dreams in the night. I bless them with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I bless them that there would be joy released in the house of the prayer, in the house of prayer, the house of the Lord would be a place of joy. The house of prayer will be a place of joy in your presence, Lord. God, I thank you. I bless this congregation with strong families, united vision, and a heart for the nations. God, anoint us to love you first and to love others just as you do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.